I wanted to see the turquoise mines in the Sinai that Sneferu had gone to. And this is about 20 years ago. I brought a bunch of my students from my university, and we were going on a tour of Egypt, and we went into the Sinai. We had our four-wheel drive vehicles, and we go into the Sinai, and I'm looking around trying to find the turquoise mines, and we find them. The locals tell us here, here. And the mines are not what you'd expect. They're little tunnels, and a single miner would have to go in and hammer away at the vein, following the vein wherever it goes. Sometimes the tunnels are large, sometimes they're small, but pretty much solitary work. Very difficult to work in there. And I arrive at the turquoise mine, and there's a tunnel, and one of the locals there said, "Oh, the miner's inside." Now, there was only one miner still mining the turquoise. This is the thing that doesn't pay. And he said, "He's inside. His name is Salem." So I yelled inside, "Salem!" And this little old man comes out, little old man. And I ask him, you know, we're talking in Arabic, and I'm trying to understand what he does. And I say, "Do you have any turquoise that we could buy? Because it would be great for the kids to have a souvenir of the turquoise mines of Sneferu." And he reaches into his galabeya, those long kaftans that they wear, and he pulls out a little handful of turquoise. And I bought the whole batch, which was like a dollar for the whole thing, maybe. And I asked him, I said, "How do you make a living doing this?" And he said, "Well, once a month, somebody from the village goes to Cairo in a bus, and he takes my box of turquoise, and he sells it, and he brings back the money to me." This man couldn't make a decent living doing this. And I said, "Salem, why do you do this?" And his answer, now it's a rough translation from the Arabic, but his answer is basically, "Who wants to work 9 to 5? And what he's saying is, and I asked him, "What do you mean?" And he says, "Well, look, the people with the goats and the sheep, they have to get up in the morning and feed them every morning and take them to the pasture. For me, if I want to stay in bed, I can stay in bed one day." So there was still one turquoise miner from the mines of Sneferu in the Sinai. It was a major, major expedition. And Sneferu did it, makes Egypt an international power. Now, interestingly, by the way, Sneferu's wife, Hetepheres, had beautiful bracelets with turquoise inlays. We found her tomb, and these are the first turquoise jewelry that we have. And it was really a fabulous thing. But, you know, I'll tell you something else about Sneferu that I think is really great. He establishes artistic traditions that will last for another 2,500 years. He had life-size statues carved of his family in stone. And this is the first beautiful life-size statue, and everybody's going to want them for another 2,500 years. You've got his, there's a pair statue of the kids, his children, Ranefer and Nofret. Nofret is beautiful. She has a wig on, her black wig, and peeking out from underneath, you can see her real hair. It's a kind of wonderful detail. So he has these wonderful life-size statues that are important. But that's not all. Sneferu is the first individual in history for whom we have anecdotes. He's a person. See, I couldn't tell you much about Narmer. I know he conquered, but that's about all. There is a papyrus in Berlin called the Papyrus Westcar. It's a magical papyrus. And it tells a story that Sneferu was bored. And he was kind of depressed. And his vizier suggested, "Listen, why don't you go for a row? Have the young ladies of the harem take you rowing." And the papyrus says they put on fishnet dresses and rowed Sneferu. And as they're rowing, one of the maidens looked overboard, and her turquoise amulet, turquoise from the Sinai mines, was a fish amulet. It fell overboard. And she started crying. And Sneferu stops the ship and says, "What's the matter?" She explains. And he says, "I'll get you another amulet." She says, "No, I want that amulet." Now, it's interesting that this is just a rowing girl. But apparently Sneferu was approachable, a human being. She could say, "No, I want my mother." He calls his magician. The magician parts the waters. This is before Moses. Parts the waters. The amulet is retrieved. It's on a rock. Gives it back to the young girl. And they begin rowing again, and she's happy. And I think what we get from this is that Sneferu, who shows Egypt how to build the pyramids, who leads it to becoming an international power, was approachable. He didn't do it by being a tyrant. He did it by being a human being. And that's something very special about Sneferu. Next time, we'll visit another special king of Egypt. So I will see you next time.